and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And we are back with Producer Dodds. Hi, Dodds.
Hey, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. I've was tired this morning, but I've had a cup of coffee, so I'm feeling just excited about the day.
And the word gusto is the word we keep using. And the reason that we are using that word is because at the weekend, I was very privileged to talk at Pods Up North event. And I was invited to be a guest speaker to talk about my journey, how I got into podcasting and how podcasting has brought so much to my life and other people's lives. And I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who has given me such good feedback from the talk. I'm very grateful. I think we've got back to most people that sent me messages. So I just want to say a big thank you. And thanks to the event for hosting me. I don't think I've been at an event where the energy felt so high and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And for any new listeners, I just want to go through what the format is of the podcast and then you can kind of sit back and relax and enjoy it. Well, the premise of the podcast is that I'm a female MD, but quite a young one who is in a position that you wouldn't traditionally think of an MD to be. So I say things that you probably all think, but probably are too afraid to say. And that's the whole premise of the podcast. I also will go through tidbits of news that we've seen across social media. So you've got some good guides as what's going on in the world. Also, at the moment, we are reviewing Christmas ads, so we're going to be going through two Christmas ads this week, and we're going to be giving our review of those. And then finally, it's going to be my main topic of the week, and this week it's all about loneliness of Christmas and how to survive Christmas silly season as someone who is single. So let's begin episode 8 of season 2.
Woo!
Woo! First thing we're going to go through is the news, and it is social media news that we think that you will find interesting. First thing is Snapchat, which is a platform that we don't really talk about ever on the podcast, but they've done a couple of things this week that we think are worth knowing. Firstly, we talked about how social media platforms aren't really doing anything to help with the political landscape and the fact that there is a lot of what we call fake news out there when it comes to political ads. Facebook have said that they're not going to do anything about it and they're just going to let them run. And Twitter have said that they're going to ban the ads completely, which doesn't stop organic content. But Snapchat have come out and said that they are actually going to fact check political ads that go on the platform. Not one to say, I told you so, but this is what we said a couple of weeks ago was what was necessary. So why is this important? You know what you're looking at has been checked by a body who is putting it on their platform and is responsible for what goes on it. So bravo to Snapchat. However, there is the cynic in me that thinks that they might have done that to distract from the fact that they're extending their ads so they can bump up the price. They came out last week and said that brands can now buy unskippable ads that go beyond their current 6-second time limit, giving longer pieces of creative, which is a theme that we are seeing across all the content channels. They are pushing longer form content and will be a really big trend for 2020 and gives the chance to reach more eyeballs within the Snapchat walls. So it's great that they're doing it, but is it to distract from the fact that they've changed their ad platform? Maybe.
Absolutely. Also, you just know that if you think about it, the idea that these private companies are just going to let politicians just say whatever they want without checking the facts, like, you just know in like 50 years that's not going to be how things are done, because they're going to be like, sooner or later someone's going to go, that's not right.
Yeah.
And although they've got a lot of power, you just know in 50 years that it's going to be more like Snapchat when they're checking them.
Definitely. And I hope by the time you're listening to this, you have registered to vote, because the day that we record it is Tuesday and today is the deadline for registering to vote. But if you are struggling to know who to vote for once you have registered, I've found a couple of really useful websites that help just demystify all of the noise that's out there in the landscape at the moment. One is the BBC that details all of the main policies for all of the parties so you can make an informed decision. And then there's also a quiz that you can take where you answer based on what you agree or disagree based on certain facts. And then it gives you an idea of who you should vote for. We will post those on Instagram to make sure that you can go ahead and make that informed decision yourself. From one company trying to make a difference to another.
Nice.
Thanks. My favorite brand in the whole wide world is Nike.
Mm.
And I'll tell you the reasons for that in a second, but I would like to know what your favorite brand is.
I really like, and actually saying this, I don't use any of their stuff, but I really like Gymshark. I just think anything they touch is they're doing the best at it, whether that be the way they do influencers, which
so
is
smart.
Different to the way everybody else does influencers. They like grow them from like a really small.
They do. They following. Make them ambassadors and then grow with them, which I think is really cool.
And no one was doing that when they started doing them. And then just like anything they do, the Black Friday stuff they do is really cool.
We'll talk about Black Friday, I think, in next week's podcast, because we'll get the facts on what actually happened on Black Friday sales. We'll have a look at how the market is feeling after Black Friday.
Who won and who didn't kind of thing.
Who won and who didn't. But interestingly, I heard on the radio this morning that Which have done a bit of research on Black Friday sales and found that the majority of things that go into the sale were actually cheaper at other times in the year. So please be mindful when you're looking and thinking you're getting
Sneaky.
A bargain that you might not be actually getting a bargain. Moving back to
Why
my
is Nike
favorite brand.
Your favorite brand?
Because of their mission statement and the fact that they live it, everything that they do links back to their mission, which is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And it says, if you have a body, you are an athlete. So it's not excluding people who don't go out and train and aren't competing. It's for everybody. And they're encouraging everybody to wear Nike for a reason, and that goes into what they have launched in the last week. And they have created shoes for medical staff in the US, so working with doctors and nurses at Portland Hospital in Oregon, they have launched a shoe that has laceless fastening, wipe clean plastic coating, and a durable rubber sole. And they've got extra grippy rubber sole, so wearers don't slip over. And they also have the Star of Life Medical Asterisk logo, which represents emergency services. So currently what medical staff wear, many medical staff wear backless clogs because they can get them on and off dead easy and they're quick to clean. But these trainers will help not only make the fact that they're on the feet all day a little bit more comfortable, but also just help take on and off. And it means that because with Crocs, they can fall off quite easily, whereas these they won't do. And I just want to, it's just a bravo piece really. An added little extra on top of that, if you don't even think that is wonderful enough, they have had children at the hospital design some of their own versions of the shoes, and proceeds from those will go donated back into Portland Hospital.
It's nice that that's where they're based as well, isn't it?
Portland. It is. Portland is where the head office is, so giving back to the community. So, bravo, living the mission once again and giving us all a guide of how to do that as brands. My final news story of the week is Nicola Mendelsohn, who is vice president of EMEA at Facebook, has launched a charity because she has been diagnosed with an incurable blood cancer and she wants to make the invisible visible. So she's launched this blood cancer charity in the last week. What she said is, not many people have spoken about it. There's a lot of confusion around blood cancers and it's hard to kill something that's incurable. It hasn't really had a voice, and I want to give my voice to it. It's a cancer that no one's ever heard of, and few people can actually even say its name. The cancer is a low-grade, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, with approximately 2,000 people being diagnosed with the disease each year in the UK alone, which is why public awareness isn't high. And I think it's testament to Nicola, who could have just, after getting the diagnosis, gone and got a house and life in order, but she wants to use what's happening to her as a force for good to raise enough money to cure the disease for future generations. So very commendable. That is my roundup of the news of the week. Hopefully you got some tidbits that you can take into your working week. I'm now going to move on to our review of Christmas ads. For the last 2 weeks, we have been reviewing the Christmas ads that have launched, and this week is no exception. First one we want to talk about is Aldi, and it's not my favourite.
What are your thoughts on it?
So it launched with a teaser with Sprouts that were the Peaky Blinders, and I was really excited to see what they'd do with it and how they would take something as iconic as the Peaky Blinders series and put it into their ads. And I was a little disappointed when I actually saw the full version and it was only a few seconds of the Peaky Blinders, and then the storyline moved into something else. And it moved from Peaky Blinders into The Greatest Showman with Robbie Williams singing his own song. When I say that, it sounds really confusing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a difficult seller, I imagine, for the...
Really difficult. And that's how I felt when I watched it. I felt like there was so much happening, so many quick cuts of pieces of food and things flying around that I struggled to keep up with it. And I didn't really get what message they were trying to send from the ad. It wasn't my favourite one that I've seen. It reminds me a lot of the Asda one from last year, where there was just so much happening, but no real storyline flowing through it. It was like three different stories in one for me. Where they have won, I think, and what's kind of turned it around a little bit for me, is the social reaction. So they've used social media in a very smart way, and is a way that other brands can take note. They have replied to the John Lewis ad in the same way that Scary Spice did to Tesco's, saying, can the CEO of John Lewis and Partners please contact hashtag Kevin the Carrot urgently? Thank you, hashtag Excitable Edgar. In response to the John Lewis ad, the section that has the snowman that melts and the carrot is left, which I think is absolutely genius. We saw the similar reaction from brands to other brands last year when Lidl reacted to the piano, which was one of my favourite pieces of content from last year at Christmas. And this is no exception. Just using that playful tone and using their brand values of being playful and humorous in a way to react to jumping on a topic that they know is going to be one of the most discussed pieces on social, because everyone waits for the John Lewis ad, is just super smart. And I think other brands can definitely learn from the way that they do this. What it did do as well is it makes you think of every other carrot that you see in every other ad, makes you think of Aldi. There was a great example in the Super Bowl a few years ago that was for Tide, the washing detergent, and they recreated a load of different types of ads. But the premise throughout it all is if someone's wearing clean clothes, it must be a Tide ad because they've used Tide to keep their clothes clean. And this works in a similar way. And the carrot that you see in John Lewis and the carrot that you see in McDonald's, which is going to be the next ad I'm going to talk about, makes you think of Kevin the Carrot. And also the feedback that I've had from friends with nieces, nephews, children is that Kevin the Carrot is the toy that the kids want from the ads.
The most. Interesting. More than the dragon.
From what I've heard, Pesta Power.
Straight from the streets, yep. Hearing it live.
Yeah. Pesta Power on Kevin the Carrot has been higher than Excitable Edgar. Talking of carrots, we are going to move on to the McDonald's advert, which is actually one of my favourites. I think my second favourite that I've seen this year. It starts with an animation style where it felt like you were living in the child's imagination, with the dog being a reindeer. It taps into families and feelings, and the fact you've got a young sister going to knock on an older sister's door and getting a bit of negativity from the teenage sister, which actually plays quite nicely into a Frozen theme. You get that memory of watching Frozen. But in the end, the elder sister comes round and they all go to get what they call reindeer treats. And McDonald's have very cleverly changed the branding on the bag of carrots that you get in the Happy Meal to call them reindeer treats. I just think it's genius. And I think every kid will probably be asking for reindeer treats.
It plays into all those skills. In a previous episode, we talked about using the data arm of the business, what Christmas ads over-index on, and it's all storytelling, emotional pulls. There's a lot of family-orientated ads. Music was a big feature, and this ticked all those boxes, really, didn't it?
Definitely. It's a really strong ad in my eyes, and just linking everything through and thinking all the way down to the product in the ad and renaming it.
I imagine that nobody's asked for carrots all year round, but now I imagine the kids will want to get the reindeer treats.
Reindeer treats.
Smart.
Smart. So should we score them?
Yeah, Christmas puds then, out of 5. You gave the Asda one 4, I believe.
Yeah.
Believe the John Lewis one was a 3?
Was it?
1 or 4? I think it might have been a 3 because I don't think I'm particularly impressed with it. Mm. What about, we'll go for the Aldi one first, the Robin Williams, who I know you're not a fan of.
Not a fan of Robbie Williams.
Greatest Showman, Peaky Blinders, mashup. What do you give it out of 5 Christmas puds?
2 for the actual TV ad. Because it was just so confusing. The concept was just really confusing. But then I bumped that up to four if we are including their activity on social media.
As a campaign as a whole.
As a campaign as a whole.
Should we settle on 3 Christmas puds then for that one?
Yep.
As an average.
Yep.
What about the McDonald's one? Higher or lower than a 3 Christmas puds?
3.5.
3 and a bit Christmas puds?
3.5 Christmas puds.
But why? What's your reasoning?
Because I like it better than John Lewis and Aldi because of the way that they've thought about everything and it's really heartwarming. But the Asda one's still the warmest and makes me feel the most Christmassy.
They've made a lot of social content, haven't they?
They've made a lot of social content around.
And the IKEA one, I think you gave a 4 as well.
Which was just completely different as well. So 3.5.
Yeah, I think that's about fair. 3.5. I think next week, now all the ads are out, we can start using, again, the data arm of the business to score, not just out of Christmas puds, but actually get the data on which ones are working best and why, and maybe go a little bit more in-depth, as well as giving your opinion, perhaps.
Definitely, we can see whether my opinions match up with the social
data.
What
everyone else is thinking. God, I hope we're right.
Oh, so do I, because otherwise people will stop listening.
Awesome.
Now it's time for me to move on from Christmas ads to another Christmas topic, which is my main topic of the week. I shouldn't say this, but I dread Christmas. The reason that I dread Christmas is because for a number of years, I have felt quite lonely not being married and having kids and not being involved in all the things that my friends are who are in a different position. And it's hard. It's really hard. It's one of the most sociable times of the year. But if you're not with someone who supports you or if you're not in a relationship, you're going on your own and you feel a little bit isolated. But also it can actually make you feel more lonely being in a situation like that. So I've got a wonderful group of friends, amazing group of school friends, but all of them are married and got kids. And every year we get together. Every year we get together and we go out for Christmas to celebrate. And sometimes partners are invited. And either my partner at the time doesn't want to come with me or I'm not with anyone and I go on my own. And my friends never make me feel left out. And my friends' husbands never make me feel left out. But I think the pressure that I put on myself is what really makes me struggle with the season. I'm also dreading Christmas this year because Christmas Eve was the date that I had my miscarriage on. So this year I'm really focusing on how to create new happy memories of the Christmas season so I'm not then living every year dreading that one day. What really changed for me was when my dad had the heart attack. So I think every Christmas, I'd kind of go into it thinking, this is the time that I'm just going to catch up on my sleep. Because doing the job that I do, especially previous jobs, the lead up to Christmas is just crazy. You are out all the time at lunches, dinners, parties. And I always ended up being ill at Christmas. And part of that is because I just ran myself into the ground and I didn't really respect the family time. I kind of just used it as a time to catch up on my sleep and recuperate. Since my dad had the heart attack, my mindset has completely changed on how I view it. And I now look to enjoy those moments and value the time that I have with my family and not look elsewhere for enjoyment, enjoy what I've got. So I was doing some research on how to give advice during this season, also to see if there was anything that would help me navigate my way through it. And the only thing that I could find was on WikiHow that was, if you're single and you're going out with other people who are in relationships, take your phone, which just really made me laugh. It's not helpful. What are you going to do? Sit on your phone? It's not going to stop you being single, that.
No way.
A study last Christmas found that 47% of singletons cited loneliness as the reason that they dread Christmas. Now, here are my top tips of how to navigate the season as a single person. First thing is, everybody moves at their own pace. Just because society has drilled into us that we should all be married and with kids at a certain age doesn't mean that you have to be. And my main thing that I've taken out of all of my therapy sessions is that I have to have relationships that give me what I need. So if I'm not getting out of that relationship what I need, it is not right for me. And therefore, being in a relationship just for being in a relationship is not the right thing and is not the key to happiness. My second thing is, make sure that you take time for yourself. It's a crazy period of time and you're going to get invited to loads of different events, loads of different parties, loads of different gatherings. But what I'm going to do this year is make sure that I book in time for me time, massages, facials, and just a bit of peace and quiet to make sure that I don't get burnout as the season goes on and make sure that I can enjoy it to its fullest. And my third and final tip is to make sure that you are living in the moment. I would not change my past. I wouldn't go back to any of the relationships that I've been in because I wouldn't want to be in those relationships now. So I'm quite happy being single because I've learned things from them. A big thing that I live by is that I can't change the past. I can only learn from it. And I don't know what's going to happen. Even in the next minute, something could drastically change as soon as I leave this room. But what I can do is I can live in the moment and I can cherish those memories and build new memories. So when I look back on next Christmas, I'll be able to think fondly of the memories that I've built in the moment, enjoying it with my friends and family. That rounds up the podcast for this week. I want to say a massive thank you for joining us. And if you want any support or advice, please get in touch at www.katieleeson.com on Instagram or LinkedIn or Twitter. And I wanted to say once again, please rate and subscribe and like and share, because we want this message to go as far as it can and help as many people as it can. This was I Shouldn't Say This But, and I will see you next week.